بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم: أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون؟ ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين. وقال تعالى: إن تكونوا تألمون فإنهم يألمون كما تألمون، وترجون من الله ما لا يرجون. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المؤمنون كجسد واحد، إن اشتكى عينه اشتكى كله، وإن اشتكى رأسه اشتكى كله، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected ulama-i-kiram, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, as we are all well aware, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is currently going through a very trying and difficult period of time. 34 days of siege, of non-stop bombing, of loss of lives, loss of wealth, loss of property, entire neighborhoods being razed to the ground, entire families being wiped off the register. And over the past few weeks, we have been reminded of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mu'minuna kajasadin wahid. That the entire Muslim ummah, no matter where they may be, no matter how close or how far they may be to one another physically, the entire Muslim ummah is like one body. In ishtaka aynuhu, ishtaka kulluhu. If the eye complains of pain, the entire body perceives the discomfort. وَإِنِ اشْتَكَى رَأْسُهُ اشْتَكَى كُلُّهُ. If the head complains of pain, the entire body perceives the discomfort. The example is given: a person who suffers from migraines, from severe headaches. Just one limb of the body is in pain, and at times just one portion of the limb. Just the right-hand side of the head or the left-hand side of the head is in pain. And the person will say, my entire body has become handicapped. He has to take leave from work. He comes home. The curtains have to be drawn. The blinds have to be closed. The room has to be made dark. The children are told from before that make sure you play outside and you don't make noise. Just one limb is in pain, or one portion of a limb is in pain. The entire body perceives and senses the discomfort. And ulama have explained, and we have heard over the last few weeks, that currently this is not any ordinary limb of the ummah that is experiencing pain and discomfort. The land of Al-Quds, Ardul Anbiya, the land of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. The hadith of Bukhari Sharif, Abu Dharr Ghifari radiyallahu anhu, asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, ayyu masjidin wudi'a fil ardi awwal? O Nabi of Allah, which was the first house of Allah whose foundation was laid in this world? The answer comes, Al-Masjid Al-Haram, it was Baytullah in Makkah Mukarrama. He then poses the question, Thumma Ayyu, which was the next house of Allah whose foundation was laid in this world? What is the answer? Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Kam baynahuma, what was the period of time between the two? Arba'una sana. 40 years between the laying of the foundation of Al-Masjid Al-Haram and that of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, the second house of Allah in the entire world, whose foundation was established in this world. It is not any ordinary limb of the ummah that is experiencing pain right now. The hadith of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking about the virtue of salah. And the virtue of salah when performed in Al-Masjid Al-Haram, in Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi. What is the virtue of salah? One salah in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, one salah. What is the virtue? What is the benefit? What is the reward? One salah performed in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, 500 salah, is equivalent or is greater than 500 salah. We know now the time of Fajr is very early. How difficult it is to set those alarms and wake up in the morning. But if we had to equate it, 100 days of 5 daily salah, one salah in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa is greater than that. It is no ordinary limb of the ummah that is experiencing pain right now, my respected brothers and elders. The hadith of Sunan al-Nasa'i, Abdullah bin Amr radiyallahu anhuma is the narrator. Sulaiman alayhi salam is a great Nabi of Allah. He is tasked with the construction of al-Masjid al-Aqsa. And we know Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah had blessed him with armies. And amongst those who were subservient to him was an army of jinnat. With their assistance, he constructs al-Masjid al-Aqsa. And then Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam raises his hands and makes dua to Allah. And he asks Allah of three things. He asks Allah, أَنْ يَجْعَلَهُ حُكْمًا يُصَادِفُ حُكْمًا, that Allah must grant him sound judgment. Allah must grant him intelligence. Allah must grant him the ability to distinguish between right and wrong, to make decisions in such a way that when he passes a judgment, it corresponds to the judgment of Allah. فَأُوْتِيَهُ نَبِي عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ says, Allah accepted this dua. Then he asks Allah to grant him mulkan la yambaghi li ahadin min ba'dih. He says, oh Allah, grant me a kingdom so vast, so great. Grant me such control that this will never be given to anybody to come after me. Fa'utiyahu. Again, Nabi alayhi salam says, Allah grants this to him. Allah accepts his dua. Quran bears testimony. Fasakharna lahu ar-riha tajri bi amrihi rukha'an haythu asab. وَالشَّيَاطِينَ كُلَّ بَنَّاءٍ وَغُوَّاسٍ وَآخَرِينَ مُقَرَّنِينَ فِي الْأَصْفَادِ هَذَا عَطَاؤُنَا فَمْنٌ أَوْ أَمْسِكْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah blesses him with this kingdom. And then he asks Allah that this masjid that I have constructed, that person who will come to this masjid, لَا يَنْهَزُهُ إِلَّا الصَّلَاةِ. His goal, his objective, his maqsood is nothing but salah in this masjid. In other words, he has not come for any worldly motive or gain. He has come to establish the ibadat of Allah. He says, oh Allah, let this person leave with such maghfirat and forgiveness that he returns like the day his mother gave birth to him. The narrator of the hadith, according to one narration, says, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, I have hope that Allah accepts this dua of his as well. It is no ordinary limb of the ummah that is experiencing pain right now, my respected brothers and elders. To this extent, Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali al-Nadwi rahimahullah very beautifully describes it. He says, what was their attachment to Haramain Sharifain? He says, these were individuals who were nourished, who were nurtured on the milk of the love of Baytullah. Makkah Mukarrama was everything for them. They would host the Hujjaj. They would give water to drink. They were responsible for the maintenance and upkeep of Al-Masjid Al-Haram. And then they were asked to leave Makkah Mukarrama. Allah blessed them in return with Medina Munawwara. And we know the virtues, we know the fada'il. We know the anwar and the barakat of Medina Munawwara. The cherry on the top is the blessed body of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which resides within the soil of Medina Munawwara. But despite their attachment to these two places, their hearts were also connected to Al-Quds. Maymuna radiyallahu anha asks Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Aftina fi al-bayt al-maqdis, aftina fi bayt al-maqdis, O Nabi of Allah, what is our responsibility? What is our duty as believers with regard to Bayt al-Maqdis? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam responds, Ardul mahshar, fa'tuhu fasallu fi. This is the land of mahshar and resurrection. If you are able to go there and perform salah there. She says, O Nabi of Allah, what about that person who is unable to get there? He doesn't have the means. Nabi alayhi salam doesn't leave it at that. He says, if a person is unable to get there, he doesn't have the means, he doesn't have the ability, the way is not open, then at least let him send a hadiya, a gift of some oil so that the lamps of Aqsa can be lit. It is no ordinary limb of the ummah that is suffering right now. To this extent, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is taken on the journey of Mi'raj. Perhaps the greatest miracle, or one of the greatest miracles that Allah had blessed him with. And here ulama mentioned an amazing point. If we had to follow our logic, our normal train of thought, then this journey of Mi'raj should have commenced from Al-Masjid Al-Haram in Makkah. Nabi alayhi salam is taken from the home of Ummu Hani radiyallahu anha. He is brought into the Haram of Makkah. His chest is split open. and his heart is washed and put back into his chest, logic would demand that the ascension should take place from here. Nabi alayhi salam would have been in the mataf. Perhaps he would have been in the hatim, or he would have been standing in front of the multazam. And Jibreel alayhi salam would have taken him into the heavens from here. But it was Allah's decision, it was Allah's wisdom, it was Allah's choice. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-harami ila al-masjid al-aqsa. That prior to Mi'raj, first the journey had to take place from al-masjid al-haram in Makkah to al-masjid al-aqsa in Baytul Maqdis. And then the mantle of honor, the imamate of the anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, al-awwaleen wal-akhirin, every nabi of Allah that had ever come into this world. They are made to assemble behind Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He is made the imam. Again, logic would demand this should have taken place in the mataf of Makkah Mukarrama, where one salah is equal to 100,000 salah. But again, it was the wisdom, it was the decree, it was the decision of Allah that this mantle of honor of imamat also had to take place in Al-Aqsa. It is no ordinary limb of the ummah that is in pain right now, respected brothers and elders. The question to ask ourselves. A person's head is paining. For a day or two, he will pass it off as a minor inconvenience. He may take a tablet or two, but that's it. When that pain continues for a week, he becomes more worried and concerned. When that pain persists for a month and intensifies each day, then it is impossible that that person can sleep at night and enjoy his food and drink during the day. The question to ask ourselves, respected brothers and elders, it has been 34 days since one of the most important limbs of the ummah is in pain. Is my concern, is my worry, is my emotion, is my empathy still there as it was in the first 2 weeks? Or has this now been relegated to the morning and evening news reports? I cannot answer the question for you, you cannot answer the question for me. We have to introspect. Do I have that feeling within my heart, what is happening to the Muslim Ummah right now? Together with this, respected brothers and elders, one very important point for us to take note of, as the conflict continues and intensifies with each passing day, is that at no point should we allow ourselves to become despondent and lose hope. As much as we feel for the people of Gaza and Palestine, as much as our hearts bleed, and it should be like this, but at the same time we do not allow ourselves to fall into a state of despondency. A person begins to become despondent, this is the stepping stone to questioning the command and the decisions of Allah. And from there on, it is a slippery slope to rejecting Allah altogether. Rather, a believer understands the system of Allah in this world. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah says, this is our system. This was always our system. This will continue to be our system in this world. Is that humanity will have to be put through sacrifice and challenges. While the dua is for afiyat and protection, and the tests of some may be far greater than the tests of others, but this is the system and the method of Allah Rabbul Izzah in this world, so that Allah will use this to weed out the faithful from the unfaithful, the loyal from the disloyal, the true from the imposter. To this extent, Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam also had to taste from the cup of sacrifice. مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ. Quran describes such difficulty, such hardship, such challenges that would come on the ummah. حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. To this extent, that even the Nabi of the time would be driven to cry out and ask, where is the help of Allah? Sahaba radiallahu anhum come to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He's seated in the haram of Makkah Mukarramah. O Nabi of Allah, the persecution is too much. We cannot take a single moment more of the persecution and punishment from the Quraysh. Give us permission to fight back. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, O my companions? Understand, the people of the past also had to go through sacrifice and difficulty. A person would be brought into the court of the king or the ruler of the time. He would be asked to explain his beliefs. And when he would state his belief in Allah, a saw would be placed on his forehead. And his body would be split into half. But this also did not cause him to waver in his iman and faith. Trials and tribulations will come. We should not lose hope. In every decision of Allah, there is hidden kindness. In every decision of Allah, there is hidden wisdom. Our aqidah and our belief, the shaheed. That person who is accepted as a martyr in the court of Allah feels absolutely no pain at the time of his demise. As gruesome, as horrific as the scenes may be and the reports may be, Allah Rabbul Izzah very beautifully sums it up in Quran. إِن تَكُونُوا تَأْلَمُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ يَأْلَمُونَ كَمَا تَأْلَمُونَ. As much as you may be suffering outward loss, understand that they also are suffering loss. They also are living in fear. They also are living in concern and in pain. But what is the difference? وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. You anticipate reward from Allah. They have no hope of reward. They have no hope of anything in the hereafter. But you anticipate hope from Allah. إِحْدَى الْحُسْنَيَيْنِ. Either Allah will grant you victory in this world, or Allah will grant you the everlasting victory of the akhirat of shahadat. The battle of Khandaq is taking place. What severe conditions came upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Poverty and hunger of a level that is unimaginable. Sahaba come to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and they lift up their kurta. O Nabi of Allah, we have to tie stones to our belly to remove the pangs of hunger. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam exposes to them, I have two stones tied to my belly. The battle is so severe. At any time the enemy can cross the trench to this extent that even Salatul Asr of that day becomes qada. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam raises his hands and curses the mushrikeen. Mala Allahu buyutahum wa quburahum nara. Hatta shaghaluna an salatil wusta. May Allah fill their homes. May Allah fill their abodes. May Allah fill their graves with fire of Jahannam. They caused us to miss the Salatul Asr. Sacrifice is an inherent quality of the Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The question to ask ourselves, respected brothers and elders, the people of Gaza and Palestine, we have hope in Allah and we have conviction. They are passing their test. So that according to one report, a person is burying his family members. His home has been reduced to rubble and dust. But he raises his hands before Allah, Ya Rabb, خُذْ مِن دِمَائِنَا حَتَّى تَرْضَى. He says, Oh Allah, take of our blood until you are happy. But the deen of Allah must prevail in this world. They are passing their test. Are you and I passing our test right now? What is the level of our connection with Allah? What is the level of qurbani and sacrifice in our lives and our homes? Understand, the deen of Allah came with qurbani and sacrifice. It will remain with qurbani and sacrifice. If the head of the home is not sacrificing to leave his home for salah, then it is not possible that deen will remain in that home and family. If the head of the home is not making the correct decisions for his children and his progeny, then it is impossible that deen will remain in that family, in that home. As much as we stand in solidarity with the people of Gaza and Palestine, Allah creates these situations in the world for us as an eye-opener. For us to introspect, for us to look back. What is the level of my connection? What is the level of my relationship with Allah right now? The million-dollar question, respected brothers and elders, which is on the minds of each and every person over the last month. And perhaps answers have been given to this question. But there are many people who are still uncertain, unsure. What can I do? That we are here thousands of miles away from Gaza. Our hearts are bleeding. Tears are running down the cheeks. What can I do? And while there isn't any single answer to this question, there are many ventures, many avenues that people have become involved in. We are not here to discuss the efficacy or the permissibility or impermissibility of these ventures and avenues. Whether it be boycotting, whether it be marching, whether it be writing to heads of state. The dua, whatever venture, whatever avenue a believer gets involved in, Allah grant barakah and blessings in that. Of course, we cannot break the command of Allah. But each person is trying in his or her own right. Allah accept it, Allah allow it to have the desired effect and result. But by and large, respected brothers and elders, these avenues have focused or have turned the focus to humanity. Assistance is being sought from humanity. There is an effort to change the global narrative. And as we mentioned, while this may yield benefit, the believer's thinking is deeper than this. The believer understands right now the effort from the side of the enemy is to cut off makhluk from makhluk. The borders will be closed. Aid will not be allowed to go in. False information will be spread. But understand that as much as the makhluk can be cut off from makhluk, it is impossible to cut off the makhluk from the Khaliq. The connection, the link, the relationship with Allah has to be created. And we can see it in the people of Gaza right now. They may not have electricity, but the noor of Iman is shining brightly within their hearts. So that till now we have not heard one report of a person crawling out of the rubble and raising his hands in surrender. Ask ourselves the question, respected brothers and elders, is my Iman as strong as this or not? So the question, what can I do? And while there are many avenues and ventures, but the believer understands that first and foremost, assistance, trust, reliance has to be placed only upon Allah alone. It has become a cliche, we say, make dua. You meet somebody outside the masjid, assalamu alaikum, how are you, make dua. It means nothing to us, it means nothing to him. Ask ourselves, we have heard this over and over and over again, have we really made dua? Do we know how to make dua? And this is an opportunity for us to learn what was the sunnat method of dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ulama have written books on the topic. A person will be facing the qibla, preferably, then in the state of wudu. The hands will be raised, not too high, not too low. At times when the need was severe, Nabi alayhi salam would raise his hands higher. When a person will commence his dua, he will commence with the praise of Allah. Many a times we go straight into asking for our needs. The dua will commence with the praise of Allah. Whether we praise in English, whether we praise in Arabic, take the names of Allah, the attributes of Allah. Second, durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then a person commences dua, ulama explain, ask for your own needs first. It should not be that we show our istighna'iyat, that I do not need Allah, but rather I am in need first. Ask for your own needs first and then ask for the ummah. Da'watu ghaibin li ghaib. A person will make dua for someone in his absence. Nabi alayhi salam says that is the fastest dua to be accepted. And then when you terminate the dua, durood sharif once again, and end with the praise of Allah. According to the muhaddithin, durood is something that Allah will never reject. If the dua commences with durood and ends with durood, it is not possible Allah will accept both ends of the dua and reject what is in between. Do we know how to make dua? What are the times of acceptance? Again, ahadith are replete with guidance, with guidelines for us. Bayna kulli adhanin, between adhan and iqama, Allah accepts duas. Allah forgive us, my own condition. We see the time of jamaat on the masjid board. If salah is at 8 o'clock, I know I need to be here by 8 o'clock. But Allah has favored us in our country, we have the adhan time on the board as well. At least for the next week, or the next few days, make this intention, that I will be in the masjid at the time of adhan. Allah give myself and all of us tawfiq. There's enough time for sunnat salah, there's time to take out to make dua. Bayna kulli adhanin, duas are accepted. Dubura kulli salatin, after every fard salah. Here also what is meant? Ulama explained those salahs where there are sunnats after the salah. Then preferably a person should not delay in performing his sunnah. But dua after the sunnats, after the nafil, again that dua is accepted in the court of Allah. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says in the last portion of the night, what we would call tahajjud time or sehri time. Now a person looks at the time of tahajjud, it seems impossible. But at least this much, respected brothers and elders, at least this much, Allah is Kareem, Allah will accept. Even if a person is unable to get out of bed, it is too cold in the morning, he doesn't want to make wudu at that time. He still wants an hour of sleep. There's still time for Fajr Salah. But at least if our alarm is set and our eyes open while you are lying in bed, whichever direction you are facing, whether you have wudu or not, from the heart also make dua at that time. Allah will accept it as the dua of tahajjud. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, especially on the day of Jumu'ah, ulama have written between the Asr and the Maghrib Salah, closer to the end of the day. Here also time for the acceptance of dua. We have been hearing over the last few weeks, make dua, make dua, make dua. Now for our dua to become effective, we implement the sunnah method of dua. The sunnah times of dua. The question people will ask, my small dua that I am making here, my small change in my lifestyle, little bit of guna I will give up, little bit of good deeds I will increase, how is it going to affect the people there? They need physical assistance, and yes, they do. Understand, respected brothers and elders, by means of an example. The person leaves home early in the morning, he's going to work. And as he steps out of his front door, he feels the breeze. And he can feel the cold in the air. And he has to rush back in and take a jacket. What's the first thing that comes to his mind? That perhaps there is snow that is falling a few hundred kilometers away. He can sense and perceive it even though he is here. Whatever a'mal we will do, whatever gunas we will give up in our lives, the coolness will be perceived and felt by the people of Gaza. Allah states it in the Quran, whatever conditions prevail in this world, whether it's on land, whether it's on sea, فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ, there is a direct correlation between the conditions Allah sends down and the a'mal and the actions of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In no way do we point a finger of blame at the people of Gaza, we point that finger at ourselves. Have I contributed to the betterment of their condition, or have I contributed to the detriment of their condition? Allah has given us these avenues, Allah has given us solutions, respected brothers and elders. We have been hearing about Gaza and Palestine over and over again. But ask ourselves, this should not just be relegated to speaking and hearing, to browsing the news reports and commenting on how severe the war may be. But now that we put our heads down and turn to Allah, turn to Allah in earnest, in sincerity, make that decision. If we can do one thing, if we can do one thing, each and every person knows one sin in his life that he just cannot get rid of, that is breaking his connection, his link with Allah. If we can do one thing, make a decision with Allah, that one skeleton in my closet, that one guna, that one sin, I will give this up for the pleasure of Allah. In solidarity with the people of Gaza, Allah is in control. Allah is in control of every army of the world. Allah is in control of the hearts of every soldier of the world. Allah is in control of the destruction of every bomb in this world. Allah will bring about a change in the conditions. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.